The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Look who joined the party. Yeah. The one and only Amari Stoudemire. So good to see
What's
you.
What's up, big time?
What's going on?
What's going on, man?
Feeling good.
I mean, listen, man, I don't know why on earth you would want to come on First Take, man. I mean, you're one of the nicest dudes on the planet.
Oh, here we go.
Anybody knows this about Stat? Anybody knows this? One of the nicest person people in the world.
Not really,
are
though.
You sure? Are you sure?
Not on the court. I've seen it.
Look at his face. Got the. I didn't say on the court. I mean, we know he'll yam it on you now, but I'm just saying, when it comes, he ain't trying to debate nobody. He ain't trying to get in. He don't even know how to frown. He don't even know how to frown.
What's wrong with him?
Every day, man.
Always.
Every day. This is the way he sets a tone with you.
You all right? You sure?
I get it.
And don't think when he calls you nice, it's a compliment.
It is a compliment.
It's just
a setup. Yeah. Always a backhanded compliment.
Mm-hmm. He's known me longer than you. I'm just saying, we actually go
back. He
gets
the time it is.
A few decades. You know?
So I just want to remind him of how you move these days. That's a setup.
Oh, these days.
Yeah,
these
days.
Well, I don't know.
These days. Yeah, things are different these days.
Well, these days.
Yeah, very different.
Hey, Amari. You might know Steve. I just want to fill you in on Stephen A.
Let's hear Amari.
I know. Same draft class, and I've got a little throwback Thursday for you. Can we show that right now?
Yes. Oh, what y'all about to do?
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Here we go.
Oh, that's when the 5X suits were in, though.
Yo, the draft.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's.
Look how long my jacket is.
Yeah, it's a dress. It's a dress. It's a mini dress.
Three quarter length. No, no, back then, there's a 3/4 length jacket.
Fit three people in our suits. What is going on?
Where are you? I don't have my glasses on.
I'm the tiny little guy next to David Stern, next to DeJuan Wagner.
There you are. You had more of a classic cut. Yeah, Amari.
I guess you can call that classic.
Good players from that class.
Yeah, that's all right.
Good in the net, Hope.
Yeah, solid.
All right, let's talk some hoops. Heartbreaker last night for Boston, right? So the Bucks rallied from a 14-point fourth quarter deficit to win 110-107 and take a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference semifinal series against the Celtics. Giannis Antetokounmpo finished with 40 points, 11 rebounds, while guard Drew Holiday added 24 points, a block, and a steal on back-to-back possessions against Marcus Smart. The Bucks host the Celtics for Game 6 on Friday, 7:30 Eastern. That's right here on ESPN. Here's Coach Udoka on a tough evening.
Of course, we're going to be down. Guys are going to be pissed about the outcome. You know, we outplayed them for 3.5 quarters. And so we talked about, you know, showing our resolve. We made it tougher on ourselves now, and it'll make it sweeter when we bounce back. But no, we gave it up a golden opportunity tonight.
Amari, more of a Celtics collapse or a Bucks comeback?
I think it was a Bucks comeback.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, I mean, they played well. I mean, as with Giannis, you know, you want to, as a star player, you want to make sure your team keep it close into the fourth quarter. And in that way, you can apply your dominance on the game and close it out. But I do think that you know, Milwaukee, you know, did what they could to keep the game close and then take the win toward the end.
You would say that. You would.
Thank you, because he's speaking the truth.
You would say that. He's not speaking the truth.
He's speaking the truth.
You know why? Because he's talking about what they did offensively. You see what I'm saying? I'm thinking about the opportunities blown by the Boston Celtics, all right? And obviously, if they were more efficient offensively, they would have won this game. But see, Stat ain't going to bring that up. See, he's going to bring up who was productive offensively instead of who wasn't. That's who he is, okay? We understand that because the brother would drop 28 on you in his sleep. I get where you're coming from, but the reality of the situation is you look at the multitude of errors Marcus Smart made. You look at the fact that Jason Tatum wasn't looking for the ball nearly as much as he should have. Shot 2-for-11 for the game from three-point range. The team collectively in this era, you know, playing for Mike D'Antoni. You know what Steve Nash is your point guard. You know what the crew that y'all had in Phoenix. I mean, when's the last time you see a team not even attempt a three-point shot in the fourth quarter? That's what the Brooklyn Nets did. So there's a multitude of errors that they made that got in their own way, not taking anything away from Milwaukee. Milwaukee's big time. They're reigning defending NBA champions for a reason. We give them their respect. I'm only talking about what transpired last night. I walked away thinking of the blown opportunity on your home court at TD Bank Garden in a game 5, knowing you got to go back to Milwaukee down 3-2 on a break of elimination, and you blew that opportunity. I'm thinking about that more than I'm thinking about the fact, even though Giannis made the three, even though he made one of the two free throws, even though Jrue Holiday made his three, I'm thinking about the opportunities Boston had that they threw to the wayside.
It's good to have you on the show.
Yeah.
Some real basketball talk.
Absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
Some real basketball talk. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I was covering basketball when you were in grade school.
I knew that would get you where I wanted you to be.
You better watch.
I knew it would get you where. Can I tell you in how many ways that you are wrong on this?
Okay, go ahead.
First off,
all right.
Where was that game at?
Boston.
It was in Boston.
Yes.
You got to go on the road and get one.
Yeah.
That's every playoff game.
Sure.
Every hooper knows you go into a road in a playoff game, any big, you got to go get it, first off. Mm-hmm. You gave me all these errors by Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart, turnover.
They've already got two in Boston.
Okay, that's fine.
That wasn't their first.
Well, Marcus Smart, all these errors. Was he just playing against himself last night? Was he just on the court by himself? Did the wind make him turn the ball over?
No.
Did the wind make his shot get blocked by Jrue Holiday? Okay, I'm sorry. Jason Tatum, you got to go get the ball. Was he not being denied, Stephen A? Did they not? Did,
oh,
not, did you
stop
wait?
It.
Did you not
oh,
see Young?
Stop
did you not
it. That's
see,
what we're doing now. That's what we're doing.
Well, I'm sorry. I just gave you your time
go
to
ahead,
talk. Can I finish
ahead,
my point?
Bad, my bad.
Did you not
my
see
bad,
Giannis on
bad.
The ball, who's a 7-footer with a 7'4 wingspan, denying the pass to get to Jason Tatum in the first place? And the last thing, Stephen A, Ime Udoka, their head coach, mm-hmm. said it. They outplayed their opponent for 3.5 quarters. So if you're being outplayed, don't you have to then outplay your opponent down the stretch to go steal one, go get it? Let's not minimize the greatness of Jrue Holiday and the plays that he made down the stretch. Now, I know the last play against Marcus Smart, he could have picked his head up. But give this man some credit for putting his hand in the cookie jar and grabbing the cookie. Let's just not say, oh, they just blew it away. They went out there and they took it, man. They took that game. Just put some respect on Milwaukee's name.
First
That's
all,
what I want
first,
from you.
First of all, if we rewind,
see,
if we rewind,
mm-hmm. it's jab him down low at first.
Why
then you go up
why
top.
You talk, why you talking?
Why
you talking?
Why
you talking? Because this is a 2-on-1 scenario right now.
Why you talking to him while I'm talking? Though, why you talking to him while
right.
I'm talking?
I'm
here's the deal. Number one. All you gotta do is rewind the tape, and you see that I gave Milwaukee props. That's number one. Number two, the nerve. Because I'm talking to two players who would have made sure they got the damn ball. Those are the two players I know. I don't, if somebody else other than Amari Stoudemire, it better be Steve Nash. It better not be anybody else. Well, it might be Joe Johnson. You might not have minded him shooting the ball.
Sure,
I mean, this
sure.
is Joe Johnson we talking about. So I understand that. But for the most part, Amari Stoudemire wanted that ball. For the most part, Jay Williams wanted that basketball. I'm telling you, I'm not taking anything away from the impediments that Milwaukee presented to the Boston Celtics. I'm saying you find a way. And if you go down, you go down the right way. I would have preferred the ball in Jason Tatum's or Jaylen Brown's hands as opposed to Marcus Smart. I would have preferred that Marcus Smart not have 3 or 4 different occasions to mess up an offensive possession, which he did in the last minute. I would have preferred that. I'm looking at you in a game 5 on your home floor tied 2-2, knowing that you lose this game, you're on the brink of elimination, having to go back to that hostile environment in Milwaukee where we both were last year. I mean, they got more people outside hanging outside the arena than inside. I mean, it's a madhouse there. I say that as compliment. It's a madhouse. I mean, their mayor with Mr. Cavalier Johnson. I mean, Cavalier, your name is Cavalier, you're a mayor. I mean, I don't know if
I
that
love
vibe.
That name.
Not as a mayor. I mean, I want somebody, I want vibrancy, I want tenacity, I want fervor. I don't want to name Cavalier as my mayor. That's just me. It's just a preference. My point is, outside of him, all of that fervor, all of that intensity that that crowd in Milwaukee brings, that's what Boston will have waiting for them in a closeout game 6 in Milwaukee tomorrow night. And you know that that's the potential, and you let these kind of things happen, I say that's a bad thing.
See,
that's
I just,
a bad
I just don't know how to trust in your authenticity when it comes to your compliments, right? Like, because you did compliment the Milwaukee Bucks at the beginning of the show, but you also complimented Amar by saying, you're very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, oh, Jay, you're very cerebral. So I'm taking your compliments, and they've been slights. So I don't know. You help me translate what the compliments actually mean, Stephen A.
That's on my mood.
See,
oh
that's
my God. Amari, I'm coming to you. Do you believe Boston's going to bounce back?
I think so. I think you know, obviously losing game 5 is a tough deal for them to lose that game
yeah.
the way they lost it. But I do think that the Celtics do have the confidence knowing that they can win in Milwaukee. And I feel like when they go to Milwaukee for game 6, that they got a chance to win that game. And I feel like they will win that game.
I said it earlier. With everything that I said about the Celtics, I think the Celtics are going to go and win game 6 and force a game 7. I think they're winning tomorrow night in Milwaukee.
Mm.
Despite the hostile environment they're walking into, they'll find a way.
But are they beating Milwaukee twice?
I'm going to take Milwaukee to win it.
Right there. That's the question.
That's where the hesitation and the deep breath start to come in.
I know that Boston, I think, top to bottom, is a more complete team. I think they're better defensively, especially without Chris Middleton.
Sure.
But there's something about seeing these moments in critical games like last night where I'm like, but are you the most complete, mature team in those type of moments? And I feel like I know who Milwaukee is in those moments. I have not seen Boston become that team consistently in those type of moments in the playoffs yet.
Right. You know what? That's the thing, because Milwaukee are, you know, their championship pedigree team. You know what I'm saying? They won championships. They know what it takes to close out the series. Boston's not quite there yet. But I do think they're on the brink of being that
kind
of team.
I agree with you.
And with Chris Middleton being out, they have a chance to really take advantage of that, and they have to going into Game 6.
So you got Boston winning Game 6?
I do, yep.
Okay. Yep. You ain't going to say nothing about Game 7?
Game 7, I'm not too sure about. It's going to come down to who's the best player, who has the most determination.
Right.
And I think Giannis is determined to continue to build his legacy. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's going to get to seven.
Maybe, we'll see.
Sounds like a little Milwaukee right there.
Seven. I don't think it's going to get to seven.
I'm distracted a little bit. I like that.
You don't think it's going to get to seven?
No, I think Milwaukee closes it out at home. Milwaukee's different. That place is different. He talked about us being there last year. I could not hear myself think. Inside that arena. I cannot hear myself think. It's going to be that type of environment.
Well, that's you sometimes.
Yeah. You know what?
Even when you're not in Milwaukee.
You know what? As soon as I said it, he squinted his eyes at me. I said,
I do understand.
I would just teed it up.
Is that two-button shirt or one button?
Yeah, it's a two-button shirt.
It's two-button? Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because if it wasn't, that would be slippage. But you did that.
Why are you coming at my attire now?
No. It's a very nice.
Compliment, backhanded slight. See how?
It's very nice.
Oh, I see.
It's every very nice.
I'm
all I know
aware.
Is this is 70 degrees outside and he dressed like it's 30.
But it's 30 degrees in here.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's pretty warm in here.
Everybody's sweating actually right now.
Look at what she's wearing. Does she look like she's cold?
Would you let him live?
You know what I'm saying?
I'm always cold. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Time for quick takes. Let's get it. This series has been up and down for the Sixers, from back-to-back wins and Joel Embiid's return from injury to the 35-point loss in Miami in Game 5. Stephen A., does Philly's season end tonight?
No, and it better not. I believe the Sixers have to win, obviously, and they will win. I don't believe they just have to win to survive, but I also think they have to win to save Doc Rivers' job. Mm-hmm. It's not fair. It's unfortunate, but it is reality. They will answer the call tonight, or Philly will crucify them this entire offseason.
Yeah, that was the largest playoff loss of Doc's career. All right, we'll keep it rolling, guys. This season for the Nets had many distractions, with many centering around the decisions and availability of one Kyrie Irving. After Kyrie's decision to not get vaccinated caused him to miss plenty of games, a lot of people questioned whether he's a teammate you can rely on. Yesterday, Brooklyn GM Sean Marks discussed expectations going forward and how Kyrie fits into that equation. Take a listen.
There's an objective and there's a goal at stake here. And in order to do that, we're going to need availability from everybody. You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, play team basketball, and be available. And that goes not only for Kyrie, but for everybody here.
Jay Will, you're up first. Should the Nets make a long-term commitment to Kyrie Irving?
Yes. Yes. I think his talent is off the charts, but I think it needs to start with a conversation with him, Sean Marks, and Kevin Durant to make sure that they are all on the same page. Now, my thing is, KD and Kyrie together are a different animal. And I know that we can sit here and we can say, well, look at all the years, the proof of Kyrie not being there. If you want to talk about everything going back from the bubble to, you know, his own personal situation and then again to the pandemic. But I believe in Kyrie as a person. And I know people may not believe in him because of the history, but I believe in the relationship between him and Kevin Durant enough to trust in the fact that Sean Marks, they will be able to come to some kind of agreement about what is expected of Kyrie if they were to make that long-term commitment. But I also believe Kevin Durant wants Kyrie to be there long-term with him. And if you don't sign Kyrie to a long-term deal, how does that jeopardize your relationship with Kevin Durant? So I'm standing firm behind that. Even though I know he will argue that he doesn't think they should commit to him long-term.
Let me give some quick context. So, Amari, you were an assistant with the team. Mm-hmm. And from what I heard on Get Up, you're no longer going to be doing that. Right. So I don't want to put you in a compromising situation here. But just what did you think of this whole situation? And how challenging was it from a coaching perspective for this entire staff, all the politics and a lack of continuity?
Yeah, it was challenging because we didn't quite know if Kyrie was going to be available for certain games. And so then now we have to go with the lineup change, you know, for home games because he couldn't play here in New York. And then that alone gives the players that are going to play, depending on if Kyrie playing or not, they have to adjust their game according to that. And then it makes it difficult for the rest of the team to build chemistry because you're not sure who's going to play and if Kyrie's going to play or not. So I think with having him available for the full length of the season will be helpful and beneficial for the Nets.
I want to make sure you finish. I want to make sure. I want to make sure you got time. You finish? You finish?
I'm done.
Okay. So I took the liberty of looking at the Nets' schedule here, not to set their record ever. How many games was played this last season? Wasn't that 82?
Mm-hmm.
How many games was played last year? Wasn't that 82?
Mm-hmm.
How many games were played the year before that when the season was halted because of the pandemic? Didn't that end up being 72 games?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving has played 20, 54, and 29 games. That means Kyrie Irving missed 52 games the first year, albeit due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
He missed 28 games last season. He missed 53 games this year. And they got, and they've been out of the first round once. Hell, you mean long term? I'm looking at the camera. Kyrie Irving is due to make $36.9 million next year. I'd give Kyrie Irving $50 million a year. He's that spectacular. 1 year at a time. You got to show up to work, bro. I've been saying it, and I'm going to keep saying it as long as I'm breathing. Kyrie Irving, if there is a brother that will find an excuse to get out of work, it's him. And I don't mean get out of work like he don't work hard. See, that's the trick. That's where people twist stuff when they want to come and defend him and they want to protect him. I'm not talking about you, Jay. They want to do all of this stuff.
I hear
you. Like, for example, when Kyrie was not allowed to play, you know what I believe he was doing? He was busting his butt getting ready for the season. Kyrie the kind of dude, he going to be in the gym. He going to put in the work. He ain't going to be out of shape. I challenge anybody on this planet Earth to tell me that I'm wrong about this Kyrie. You tell Kyrie to do something at 1 o'clock, he want to do it at 3. You tell him to do it at 3, he want to do it at 5. You want to do it at 5, he want to do it at 10. He going to put in the hours. He going to put in the work. It's the notion that he got to answer to somebody other than himself. He can't take. He wants to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. He don't want to answer. He don't want to look at anyone as an authoritative figure. And why is Kevin Durant his boy? Because that's his boy. He gonna ride and die with him. He ain't flaking on Kyrie one inch, at least publicly. He ain't doing that. And so because of that, he will get to do things his way. See, people assuming that I'm talking about Kyrie's not gonna work. False. Kyrie will put in the work. Kyrie will be ready. And the bigger the challenge, the more that brother gonna show up. He ain't gonna shrink beneath the spotlight. He gonna show up and he gonna show out because that's who he is, which is why he deserves his money. The problem is the more a long-term agreement you insulate and secure him with, the more it empowers him to ignore authority because he doesn't view anybody else's authority. See, the Nets should be privileged to have him. He shouldn't feel privileged to make $36.9 million next year or $50 million or $200 million. No. You're lucky to have him. Why should he answer to anybody? So what I say is, Kyrie, you really want to show what you made of? Why don't you opt in? Take this last year at 36.9, because from a talent perspective, we all know the brother worth the $200 million, $250 million, hell, $300 million. Kyrie worth it. If you told me that I don't have to worry about Kyrie missing more than 12 games a year, I pay Kyrie Irving $300 million right now without blinking because the brother box office, and I'm going to get my money back because the minute they see him, he going to play.
The problem is if you give him that money, more than 1 year at a time, Kyrie will use that to navigate and circumvent his way around authority. Showing up and doing your job on a consistent basis, a job you volunteered for, you signed up for. This ain't indentured servitude. Nobody forced Kyrie to do this. He chose to do it, and then he chooses to take off, but he still gets his money. I'm not paying him long term. I'm giving him 1 year at a time, all the money he deserves, but 1 year at a time, an option after every year. Opt in. You're making $36.9 million next year. Opt in. Let's see what he does.
Yeah, interesting, because, I mean, you do have to try to figure out a way to negotiate the contract moving forward with Kyrie, right? Because as a GM or owner, you want to make sure your star player is playing majority of the games. And how do you make that happen, right? You have to figure out a way, because you're not sure if he says, okay, Stephen A., I am going to play, you know, majority of the games. I'm locked in. I'm locked in, right? But then when the season happens and he doesn't hold up to that agreement, then now what? Now you're stuck with this contract you gave him, and you're stuck with it. But if you either one-year deal or you figure out a way to negotiate the contract properly.
Some type of stipulation.
Some type of stipulation.
You get your money based
there you
on.
Go.
Absolutely.
Pay for play. That's
absolutely.
All. That's what you're talking about. So I'm sorry, because this has to happen. You ain't working. Let me tell you this. You ain't working for the Nets anymore, are you?
No.
Okay, good. So I'm going to ask you this question. You just brought up a pay-for-play option, which nobody would really, really want to hear. I mean, how dare
no,
anybody
for
say
sure not.
I'm saying
nobody
it. I'm saying it, damn it. The hell with it. Forget it. I'm saying the hell with him, yes. But I ask you this question. Could you please put in the words what Kyrie Irving's situation last year you believe did to the Brooklyn Nets championship aspirations? Could you do that, please?
I mean, we can always speculate on if he played. We may have won a championship. We could have had a chance to compete for a title, which is true. It could have definitely helped us in the way on the side of competing for a championship. But we don't know that for sure, right? I mean, you got teams that are playing great basketball. So we don't know for sure if we would have won a championship if Kyrie would have played. It would have enhanced our chances to win a championship. But you can't guarantee that
would happen. I ain't asking for guarantees. I asked you a direct question. What kind of an impact do you believe Kyrie Irving's situation had on last season? This season, actually. This season's championship aspirations. That's a direct question.
Yeah, I think it hurt us. You know, it definitely hurt us because we didn't have the consistency with Kyrie enough to build the chemistry for the group of the team, right? He plays, you know, only on away games, depending on which city it is, can't play in New York. So, therefore, we have different lineups and different matchups depending on the game scheduling. And so it made it difficult for us as coaches to figure out, like, well, who's going to play in spite of Kyrie? The chemistry's not quite there, probably like we would like for it to be. So it was difficult for us to manage that. It was definitely a hard
deal. Did it hurt the chemistry between James Harden and the teammates?
I'm not sure if it hurt between James Harden and his teammates because I feel like obviously, we couldn't build the proper chemistry with the total group to play those big three guys, James, Kev, and Kyrie, to play at the same time. We didn't have a lot of games to experience that with those three guys on the court. So I can't really comment on whether that would have affected those three guys together, but it didn't help.
Last comment, because I feel I owe Steve Nash this. I have been somebody who feels that Steve Nash needed to go. But it wasn't because of his coaching abilities. It's because I felt like you have to have a coach strong enough to deal with this kind of nonsense that he could throw in your direction. So I was of the mindset either Kyrie got to go or Steve Nash got to go. Because Steve Nash, to me, hasn't really been given an opportunity to really, really coach this team because he's never had a team because of one shenanigan after another that has transpired. Okay, yep. And I ain't even bringing up the James Harden stuff and how James Harden told him one thing and did another. Forget all of that. James Harden wanted out and we got all of that. He wanted to be with Daryl Morey. That is not a crime. But the point is, Steve Nash, as much as I did not like the fact that a guy with no coaching experience instantly gets a job hovering over a championship contender, I want to be fair to him by saying he has not been given a true opportunity to coach a complete team in his years in Brooklyn, and he will never be given that opportunity as long as KD and Kyrie are together because of Kyrie. So either Kyrie goes Or Steve Nash has to go and somebody that can come in there and be like, hell with that. This is what we going to do. Here's how we going to do it. And I don't give a damn what anybody says. That's my position. You don't have to comment.
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I think Steve and Kyrie can both figure it out. I feel like Kyrie has to make a commitment to himself in the game of basketball on how committed he is to being a great player. Because I feel like Kyrie should have been on that top 75 list. But at the same time, you have to now take that as motivation
yes.
going into next season and proving yourself, prove to yourself that you are a top player and do it consistently throughout the season.
But you and I both know, come on, y'all, we all know this. The only reason Kyrie wasn't on it, and I had a vote, the only reason why Kyrie wasn't on that list is because of availability. Nothing else. There's no way that Kyrie isn't a top 75 player talent-wise in the history of the game. Everyone knows that. You left him off because who the hell are you to skip work so much?
I do just want to say one thing. I know before, 3 years ago, it was the injury. I know the bubble thing was a different scenario with George Floyd. But there were other players last year that did not play because they played, but there wasn't a city mandate that who didn't get vaccinated.
Fair.
So, like,
fair.
I do want to put fair. That overall into
fair.
Okay.
Fair. Okay, but they didn't go on they, even despite
I'm
what
not,
I said.
I'm,
I know that.
Yeah.
Despite what I said, they didn't go on a podcast afterwards.
I understand. About
such as the life of a martyr.
I don't agree
you
with that.
You see what I'm saying?
I don't agree with that.
You see
I'm
what he does?
I'm with you on that.
You see what he does?
I'm with you. I don't like that.
Please.
I don't like that. But
Please. 1 year at a time. Give $50 million. 1 year at a time.
Yeah, or one pay for play.
You got to show up to work.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. When Jermell Charlo and Brian Castaño fought the first time, we got a highly disputed draw that more than deserved a part two. Now the two will battle it out again in an undisputed unification rematch at Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson, California, this Saturday. Stephen A., the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Molly. It is my honor and privilege to talk to this brother right here. I know the record says 34-1-1. Damn it, as far as I'm concerned, you 36-0. That's just the way. We're going to stick with that story. Jermell Charlo, welcome to the show, man. You got this fight coming up against Castaño. Y'all had a situation where it was a split decision y'all last meeting. Tell us what we should expect for this fight this weekend.
Well, I'm going to come out way more dangerous this fight. I'm going to come out with that anger, that fight that I wanted, you know, that hunger that me and my brother possess in the game of boxing right now.
Is this the kind of anger that similar to the kind of anger you had when you were trying to avenge your disputed loss against Tony Harrison a couple of years back?
I say so, but I'm going to be way more evolved and way more aware and attentive to what I'm doing. I think that fight, we had bad blood and a bunch of beef. This fight is going to be about boxing and skills. It's going to be about a little bit of, winning for the USA versus Argentina.
I got to ask you, because I'm looking at big picture, and when I think about it, we talk about it, this is a super welterweight title. You know, stuff is on the line. We hear names like the Terrence Crawfords. We hear names like the Errol Spence Jr.'s or whatever. I've been on you. Your brother's obviously a middleweight champion. I've been singing y'all praises for quite a long time. I want to know how important this fight is for you in terms of your name being elevated in that big picture, because quite frankly, I'm looking at some of these fights, and I think you deserve bigger fights. What's up?
Well, I feel like my name is up there already. You know, right now I'm getting ready to fight for Undisputed World, Undisputed Championship, unifying all the titles in the division. That's almost some of the similar things that Canelo has done at 168. I'm doing that exact thing at 154. I've been domaining at this division for so long. I've been the head guy, the main guy. I've been knocked out a bunch of these guys from the top 10, from the top 5. Just fought about just about everybody. So, if they don't know by now, they gonna know Saturday you know, that we're a force to be reckoned in the sport of boxing. We the Charlotte Twins, the Lions Only, the loud mouth, the big heads, whatever they want, we for it. But it just take a few more fights, like us knocking out those people that's talking that BS, like Crawford and all of that. But you know, me and Earl, we stable mates. We domain in boxing together. You got the Texas thing going on, you know, with 47. You got 47 at Errol Spence. I'm the 54 champion. You got my brother at 60. And we like it like that.
Well, let me say this, and I'm going to throw myself on, you know, just on national television. I'm going to tell how y'all caught me out. I'm going to tell you, one of my most ignorant moments ever in my life was when we were at the Canelo Triple G fight, and I was literally arguing with you, your brother, all right? And I'm saying Errol Spence, of course, I was arguing with him, and Andre Ward, and then I had to look up and go like this, wait a minute. All of these dudes are champions, and I'm the one. I'm the journalist. What the hell am I doing? So everybody knows you.
I remember that.
That's right.
I remember that. Yeah.
But I ask you this in all respect with this question. I know you would never fight Errol Spence, like you said. That's your brother. That's your stable mate. But have you ever thought about moving down a little bit and then moving up, maybe to say like 150 catchweight or whatever the case may be, just so you could get some of those mega fights against those mega names? Because everybody knows who the hell you are.
Nah, I think that I'm comfortable staying at 154. Moving down would be a little bit too much work. Moving up, I'm running into my twin brother, and we'll never fight each other because that's what mom said since we were younger. You know, other than that, anybody else can get this work. I'm ready to put that smoke on anybody.
Do you feel you have to have a knockout this weekend in order for, you know, to move forward, to ultimately get those big fights that you're after against those big names?
I feel like I don't necessarily need a knockout. I just need to look impressive. I need to be attentive. Like, I need to stay strong the whole fight. I need to be the guy, you know, like that's dominating and win with a, like, a more vicious win. But if the knockout come, it come. But now I'm ready to go 12. I'm ready to rumble. We can get in there and go 12. We can go. We don't get paid for overtime. So, hey, I'm ready for whatever they got. 12 rounds is what I'm giving. Got
to get on out of here, but I wanted to take a moment to give you and your brother Jamal love. Y'all two are the best in the world as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sick and tired of these mega fights taking place without y'all names in it, okay? Y'all deserve these mega fights. So good luck this weekend. Handle your business, and I'll see you down the road.
Thank you.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Oh, fellas, it's been a rough go of it for the Lakers. So here's the LA Times' Bill Plaschke on the Doug Gottlieb Show after he sat down with Jeannie Buss. Take a listen.
Jeannie basically told me she's not trading LeBron. They're going to instead, they're hoping for a Kobe-like retirement game when LeBron breaks Kareem's record next year. They're hoping LeBron can carry his star power for two more years. They want to make LeBron happy. I said, Jeannie, LeBron and Clutch Sports run the team. She said, no, they don't. She's the owner. The buck stops with her. She's adamant that it's her team. She won't give it to him. But she wants to make him happy. She clearly wants to make LeBron happy.
Okay, I'm getting a different direction here. You want to take this?
Yes, I'll take it. First of all, I'm proud of Jeannie Buss. You know, I've spoken to Jeannie Buss myself, and that message that Bill Plaschke just articulated is consistent with what she told me. So obviously that is to be believed. We all love Jeannie. It is what it is. We say that. Let me say this before I get into LeBron James. Let me look in the camera and talk to Rich Paul, the head of Clutch Sports, the agent for LeBron James. Sit down, bro. Stop it. Every little thing is disrespectful to LeBron James. Hey, little thing. I mean, my God. I mean, you call LeBron James. Listen, Rich Paul is the dude years ago, Jay Williams. I said, far be it for me. I got LeBron James as number two on the planet. In the history of basketball, spanning 75 years, I have him, even with Kareem and 19 All-Stars and 6 championships and 6 league MVPs and a college championship and a high school championship. I got LeBron James number two all time. And that's an insult. This is Rich Paul. It is an insult. Get tested, bro. Something wrong with you. Something wrong with him, all right? Sit down and keep watching First Take. We appreciate the viewership. Here's the deal. LeBron James, no one is disrespecting LeBron James. The man just finished averaging 30 in his 19th season at age 37. He's absolutely phenomenal. We've never seen it in our lifetime. Somebody to be this old, this great in terms of basketball parlance. What I was saying, Jay, weeks ago was, you have nothing else. In the case of Anthony Davis, everyone knows he's a star when healthy, but he's so injury prone, no one has faith that he'll be healthy enough to really give you what you need from him. So his trade value is diminished because of that. Mm-hmm. And because of the season Russell Westbrook just had, although I have faith he will resurrect himself and make amends for the season he just had, a lot of people are not inclined to deal with him either, even though he's approaching the last year of a deal paying him $47 million. So what I said, Jay, was if you had LeBron James on the market, just imagine the calls that would come in and what people would be willing to give you for him, because he's box office, he's great, he's a leader, he's a champion, and there's almost nothing they wouldn't do, most teams in the league, not all, most teams in the league, there's almost nothing they wouldn't do to get their hands on him. That's all. Because yeah. I said, you're not going any, you're not doing but so much anyway. So it should at least be considered. That's all I said.
Operative word, that's considered.
So that's it.
Okay.
So Rich Paul, Mr. Sensitive, you know what I'm saying? I know people need a man with sensitivity, but damn it, not today. The bottom line is it's not necessary, okay? So to make sure we assuage the concerns of Rich Paul, could y'all give me my ticket, please? I want to make sure we're doing this. I want to make sure we're doing this, Jack.
You really have a ticket.
We got. Look at that. Great husband.
Oh, yeah.
Great father.
Oh,
generous philanthropist.
I mean,
hold on. Wait a minute. The LeBron James Family Foundation, the I Promise School, you know, fostering positive change in the community. Hollywood power broker, great actor, clutch player, clean diet, handsome, all around good guy, great human being, phenomenal father, phenomenal family man and husband. You understand? One of the greatest wives on the planet. Who could ever sit, throw any shade on Savannah? She's the best. Okay? Did I miss anything? Because Rich Paul, I mean, the Rich Pauls are where they get sensitive. Did I miss anything, Jay? I just want to make sure. Is there a category? I mean, did you see the movie Trainwreck? It was phenomenal. LeBron James.
He was really good in that. And that was a really funny movie.
With Amy Schumer, right?
Yes,
that
Amy
was
Schumer,
really
yes.
He was
funny.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
he, look
that
at
was
that.
Good.
Great act. Did I have that up
I
there?
Saw, I
Did I have great act
again.
Up there? Did I have great act up there? Just what I'm just, I can't see from this distance with the low with the low funds. I can't see it. There's great actor up there. Okay, thank you very much. So we got all of it. Did I miss anything, Jay?
No.
Did I miss anything? Floor's yours.
I don't agree with everything that Rich Paul says. Him and I talk a lot.
Yes. Yeah, who doesn't talk to Rich Paul?
But what I will say is, I think this might be the most insulting thing I've ever heard you say about LeBron James.
Oh, God. How's it insulting?
Because we are talking about one of the two greatest players to ever play on this planet.
Yes.
And when you start throwing in a guy who just won a championship 2.5 years ago, mm-hmm. I've never ever could imagine you saying the Bulls should think about trading Michael Jordan.
They weren't losing!
I never could imagine hearing you say the Lakers should think about trading Kobe Bryant. So if we're talking about one of the greatest to ever do it, the most erroneous thing I think you could say, who just came off having an MVP season.
Which I've
who just won you a championship. Now, if you want to talk about AD, trading AD, I know there's going to be issues with that. Russell Westbrook. But let's stop saying we should think about trade LeBron James with the Lakers. The Lakers are a legacy franchise.
Right.
Can you imagine how the backlash that would be on a legacy franchise talking about trading a legacy player like LeBron James?
Real quick, and then let me go to break.
That's crazy. That's erroneous.
You know what we're discovering right now?
What?
We're discovering right now, I'm not his boy. He ain't got no love for me.
I got love for you.
Let me I'm going to explain how. Because we all know where I want to be. We all know where I want to be. I would love to be in L.A. I'm not saying that LeBron James should be traded or anything like that because of LeBron.
But just
I'm saying, as phenomenal as he is, he's all they have. Yes. They have nothing else.
No, go down with the ship,
LA. They have nothing else.
Go down with the ship.
He's not saying it's a slight at LeBron. He had LeBron individually had an incredible season.
But it is a slight to LeBron, even if that's not the way he's saying it.
I'm complimenting
him. It is. You know why? Because they're saying at this stage of your career, at 37, having an MVP caliber year, we need to do what's best in our franchise, and we're going to let you figure it out on your own.
No.
Figure it out on your own. Maybe he could go to a better situation.
That's right.
That's a great thing. He's in LA.
He's been to different places. He's been to four different franchises.
Put the headliner back up there. Put all of LeBron James accolades up there. Put it. Now y'all going to go commercial. I get 2 minutes and y'all go to commercial.
I need a 3-minute timeout from both of you right now. It's getting very loud in here.
All this stuff that he's doing, look at this.
Go to commercial.
Look at that. I promise. He's been able to leverage all that while being in L.A. He likes his family in L.A. He likes his wine in L.A. Now you're going to try to say, oh.
He likes his wine in L.A. Is that really what we're doing?
That's what I just said on national TV. Yes.
Let's go to commercial.
This man deserves to be treated like a king on his way out.
Oh, my gosh.
You treat him with the respect he deserves, Stephen A. Trade him.
You just embarrassed yourself on national TV.
Oh, and by the way,
his wine and his MVP season.
Would you go give him a penny or two?
Well, the guy gives me 30 every single night.
You going to give him a pedicure, too?
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, yes. Okay, 30 points a night, yes.
Right. Okay, you didn't say no.
37 years old, 30 points a night.
You didn't say no to the pedicure, a manicure. You didn't say no to any of that.
Your nails do look nice, though. You get them buffed?
I have.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Six-time All-Star Amari Stoudemire, why have you, sir? This team is stacked, right? The Phoenix Suns contending for a championship potentially, but Amari, your Suns weren't too bad either. 2004-2005 Suns went 62-20, had 05 MVP Steve Nash and All-Stars yourself and Sean Marion. Now, tell me this. You fell short in the finals. This 2021-2022 Suns team, led by Chris Paul and Devin Booker, went 64-18 this season. So, Amari, who would win between your squad, 04-05, and this present day team?
That's a tough matchup right
there. That is a tough matchup. That's tough. I think we will win. And the reason why I say I think CP and Steve will probably cancel each other out, right? It's like playing chess. It's both guys going to take each other out. Joe Johnson and Devin Booker will also kind of do the same. Mm-hmm. I think the advantage we have is at the center position.
Go ahead and say
it. I just don't think they have a chance for the Stoudemire guy down back in those days. I just don't think Aiden will be able to handle that team's five-man in that series.
You can go first person. Stephen A. does it regularly. I mean everyone's used to it.
We're two different guys. Stephen A. and I are a little different.
I got to tell you.
Tough matchup.
It's a tough matchup. It's a pick 'em. It's a pick 'em because don't forget the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
And what he brought to the table. You think Mikal Bridges and these boys bring it. It's a pick 'em, and I would lean towards you guys.
I would, too.
More stressful being on the Nets and working in that organization or me next to him every day?
Probably being next to Stephen A. is definitely more stressful.